From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that cannot only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. We begin with the national news. The United States Mission in Indonesia made an announcement on Tuesday to funnel further funding of $3.5 million through the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, to bolster Indonesia's COVID-19 vaccination endeavors. With this additional funding, the U.S. government support for Indonesia's COVID-19 response totals $14.5 million. According to a written statement issued by the U.S. Embassy in Jakarta on Tuesday, the USAID will utilize this additional funding to fortify the Indonesian government's vaccination planning, coordination, distribution, and implementation of procedures during and after the vaccine administration. Moreover, the USAID helps to increase the number of vaccinated communities by addressing misinformation, enhancing the dissemination of timely and factual information, and broadening access to safe and effective vaccines and inoculation facilities. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi has made an earnest appeal to all Indonesians to take a lesson from the latest developments of the global COVID-19 pandemic, especially the new wave of infections in several countries. Minister Retno echoed Indonesia's concern over the new wave of COVID-19 infections and the emergence of new variants in several countries. In the wake of such developments, the Indonesian government has made unwavering, persistent efforts to ensure vaccine supplies to meet requirements. However, all sides must work together to combat the virus. According to the minister, preventive measures can be taken if Indonesians remain disciplined to follow the health protocols. The eyes of the world will be on the UK as it hosts the G7 and COP26 in 2021. The UK is committed to hosting an inclusive, ambitious climate change summit, where in addition to working with countries, the UK engages meaningfully with non-state actors like businesses, cities, institutions, and investors. The aim is for COP26 to be inclusive both in who is engaged and how all groups are helped to deliver climate action. As the global low-carbon transition accelerates, it is clear how crucial the role of business is in demonstrating the feasibility and desirability of progress and in innovating to create the new technologies, products, and business models that will be needed in a global low-carbon economy. On Tuesday, British Embassy Jakarta hosted a webinar on the Race to Zero, a discussion on business commitments towards net zero emissions. UK Ambassador to Indonesia and Timor-Leste Owen Jenkins said on his opening remark that business action is important to achieve the zero emissions.
So business action is vitally important to achieving the global transition. And it's also critical to the climate summit, which the United Kingdom will host later this year, COP26. We want to be as inclusive as we can be as we move towards COP26 and bring together not just governments, but business leaders, researchers, experts, civil society, and young people to ensure that we are bringing all of the sectors who need to be involved into one place to drive a better future for all of us.
Ambassador Jenkins added that Race to Zero is a global campaign to rally leadership and support to mobilize coalition which can lead to net zero emission. The UK is encouraging businesses to commit to science-based targets as well as net zero by 2050, and to reflect these commitments by joining the Race to Zero, a global campaign to rally leadership and support from businesses, cities, regions, investors, and universities. Now we move to the international news. Belgium banned on Tuesday passenger travel and transit originating from India, Brazil, and South Africa as the countries continue to battle surging coronavirus cases, media said. According to the Brussels Times, the decision was taken by the government's consultative committee in response to risks posed by mutated variants that have been driving infections upward. Interior Minister Annelies Verlinden will reportedly publish a ministerial decree soon that will put the measure into effect. The ban concerns passengers arriving in Belgium by air, sea, train, and bus. Exemptions include diplomats, transport personnel, and seafarers, employees of international organizations, and those invited by international organizations if their physical presence is indispensable. Medical supplies from the UK arrived in India on Tuesday, the first international shipment aimed at stemming a devastating COVID-19 surge. International shipment aimed at stemming a devastating COVID-19 surge, ventilators and oxygen equipment landed in Delhi, but far more will be needed, with many hospitals overwhelmed and people waiting in the streets outside. Zarir Udwadia, who works in Mumbai hospitals and counsels the government, told the BBC Today program the currently pledged supplies will have limited effects. Dr. Udwadia said the complacency over getting vaccinated during the first wave had now given way to long lines of people outside medical centers jostling to get shots. Although India's statistics currently stand at 17.6 million cases and more than 190,000 deaths, some believe the real figures to be much higher. One investigation by NDTV found that over the past week in Delhi alone, some 1,000 deaths may have gone unrecorded. Identified mutations of a new coronavirus strain from India indicate that this variant is highly infectious and may be resistant to COVID-19 antibodies, the World Health Organization told Sputnik on Tuesday. 1B.1.617 is a variant with E484Q and L452R mutations, first detected in India from samples collected on December 1, 2020. Preliminary studies show that both these mutations might be linked with stronger binding potential to the human ACE2 receptor. According to the World Health Organization, the L452R might impact the effectiveness of some monoclonal antibody treatments. The E484Q might also lead to antibody neutralization, where antibodies from past infections are not as efficient in protecting someone from a new infection. The World Health Organization added there is some evidence that these variants are more contagious. We end the news with the United States that should consider relocating its Africa Command, or AFRICOM, headquarters from Germany to Africa to better fight against terrorism in the region, Nigeria's President Muhammadu Buhari said on Tuesday during a virtual meeting with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Buhari has underscored the importance of international partnership in combating terrorism in Africa. According to Buhari, all nations should cooperate to overcome these challenges. He added that potential consequences will affect the whole world, Nigeria will continue fighting against terrorism, he promised, noting the importance of international support and strategic cooperation in resolving this challenge. Well, listener, that was the news.
Countries in the world still need to be vigilant and alert to the threat of the coronavirus, which has hit for more than a year. Now, vigilance must even be increased by the spread of a new variant of COVID-19. India, one of the most populous countries, is currently suffering greatly from the COVID-19 attack, both old and new variant. When the calamity caused by the old COVID-19 virus has not been resolved, now the situation is exacerbated by a new variant attack that has been detected more vicious. The second wave of the COVID pandemic has indeed hit the country. In India, hospitals are unable to accommodate the number of infected and there is a shortage of medicines and oxygen. Even the crematoriums is no longer able to burn the bodies of the victims. As a result, empty parking lots and fields have to be used to cremate corpses who died from COVID. Besides being sad, the sight can certainly cause horror, especially for foreigners. The tragedy in India has now penetrated its closest neighbor, Nepal. The small country in the Himalayan region must fight hard to escape from this invisible virus attack. But the vigilance isn't just for India's closest South Asian neighbor. The new COVID variant has now been detected in 17 countries. The World Health Organization, WHO, noted this development in light of the 1,200 case reports on the GSAID Global Science Initiative data. Without mentioning details, WHO, in its weekly report cited by various media, said that samples of new COVID infections uploaded to the GSAID website mostly came from India, UK, United States, and Singapore. This information certainly makes a number of countries even more alert. Australia, for example, has banned the entry of flights from India. Indonesia also does not want to be off guard due to the undetected entry of Indian citizens. Vigilance at airports, which are the entry points for passengers of foreign nationals, especially India, is increased. The catastrophe caused by the COVID-19 pandemic is not over yet. In various countries, it is even increasing. In India, for example, the government and its people, who had previously experienced a decrease in cases, are now panicking because of the soaring number of infected and dead, and the very minimum health services. The world does not only have to be vigilant, but must try together to overcome this pandemic. Developed countries must provide assistance to those in need, such as India, which is currently hit by the crisis. The multilateral efforts for cooperation in the procurement of the COVID-19 vaccine is one of the efforts that must be increased.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on April 28, 1949, about the death of Chairil Anwar. Chairil Anwar is an Indonesian prominent poet. He has written about 96 works, including 70 poems. Together with Asrul Sani and Rifai Apin, he was named by Habib Yasin as a pioneer of the 45th generation and Indonesian modern poetry. He was nicknamed Si Binatang Jalang, which means the wild animal, from his work entitled Aku. His poetry concerns a variety of themes, ranging from rebellion, death, individualism, and existentialism, so it often led to multi-interpretations. Many of Chairil's works were also translated into foreign languages, including English, German, Russian, and Spanish. The date of his death, April 28, is celebrated as the National Poetry Day. Moving on to an event on April 28, 1952, when the Taipei Agreement was signed. The Sino-Japanese Peace Treaty, commonly known as the Taipei Agreement, was signed in Taipei, Taiwan on April 28, 1952, and took into force on August 5 in the same year. This agreement officially marked the end of the Sino-Japanese War, which lasted from 1937 to 1945. The Taipei Agreement was unilaterally cancelled by the Japanese government on September 29, 1972. We end today in history with commemoration of the World Day for Safety and Health at Work. In the beginning, in North America, April 28 was a day to remember a laborer who died, maimed, injured, or became unwell as a result of their work. In 2001, the International Workers' Organization, or ILO, as part of the United Nations, recognized April 28 as Workers' Memorial Day and declared it World Day for Safety and Health at Work. In 2002, the ILO announced that April 28 should become an official anniversary day in the United Nations system. Well, listener, that was Today in History.
Apa yang harus kukatakan? of Blessing with Voice of Indonesia. We present you many programs, the story of Indonesian ambassadors, diaspora, and students fasting in many countries. Also, interesting and heartfelt stories of Indonesian security forces, the National Army and National Police, in the border area, far from their family, fasting in the border of Indonesia. You can find it all in All About Ramadan, Voice of Indonesia, 1442 Hijri. Ramadan, ya Habib, Ramadan, Ramadan, laytaka dawman qareeb.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The non-oil and gas processing industry trade balance of January-March 2021 was surplus $3.69 billion. The number increased 18.06% compared to the same period last year. This positive achievement resulted from the manufacturing sector's increasing export. That was stated by the Industry Minister Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita in a press release on Sunday. Agus Gumiwang said, despite the pandemic, manufacturing industry performance still dominates the national export value. In the first quarter of 2021, the manufacturing sector gave its greatest contribution, up to 79.66% of the total national export, that was $48.90 billion. Minister Agus Gumiwang further explained, there were three sectors that made the manufacturing export performance great. The first is food and beverage with $6.69 billion. The second is base metal industry with $5.87 billion. And the chemical industry $4.18 billion. Agus Gumiwang said from the factors, the food industry export was dominated by the palm oil commodity. Meanwhile, thanks to the upstreaming in the metal sector, the iron and steel product export from Indonesia had given significant added value for the foreign exchange. Then various chemical products also became the top Indonesian non-oil and gas export. The chemical product is expected to be the future backbone of Indonesian export. Agus Gumiwang said until now, industrial products can be the main pillar for the national export value. The government is optimistic that the excellent export performance amid the pandemic show that Indonesian industry players can use opportunities. This can accelerate the national economic recovery. Therefore, Agus Gumiwang gave appreciation for the national domestic players who are still aggressively penetrating international market amid the pandemic. According to the minister, besides fulfilling domestic needs, Indonesian industry has been able to make quality and competitive products in the global market.
Derasnya kehidupan, letih persahabatan, sejenak hilang pergi jauh dalam sang waktu membawa ku ke hari pertama saat masih terasa, ku ingat detik itu, kisah beda kita bersama seperti
welcome to the new normal. Now we are facing uncertainties, uncertain of when the pandemic will end, and also many other uncertainties. Coronavirus pandemic has changed many aspects of our lives. If you want to survive from this pandemic, you should prepare to adapt and live the new normal. In the prediction of the new normal, health and hygiene became the top commodity. Fear of getting infected makes people keep their health and hygiene more tightly when going outside. There will be sinks everywhere. Hand sanitizer becomes the most wanted goods. People wear masks everywhere. Always keeps your distance when doing activities and avoid crowds. Also, you should not make any physical contact, even just for shaking hands. Vitamins will be consumed as many as food. Before traveling, people will have their temperature checked and will not be permitted to proceed if found not healthy. Temperature will always be checked during social activities like at malls, restaurants, or everywhere. It's also possible in near future, people must bring personal health document when traveling, or health tracking system at airports and other transportation terminals can be more practical and efficient. Well then, welcome to the new normal.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Leuweung Gledekan, or the wilderness, can be a new adventure place for a vacation with your beloved family. However, if you don't want the trouble of bringing all your camping tools, you can visit one of the places that provide camping with hotels facility, or what is commonly called glamping or glamour camping. Glamping in Leuweung Gledekan Ecolodge is not like a village in general, because there are no tents here for you to rest. The lodge, which is neatly arranged according to the contour of the land, is a place for you to rest while enjoying the fresh mountain air, because Leuweung is indeed located at the foot of Mount Salak, which is beautiful and cool with mountain views. Quiet and comfortable place for holidays and work meetings. This place brings a different feel to your stay. Equipped with 5-star hotel facilities to support your activities, Leuweung Gledekan Ecolodge is only 7.6 kilometers or about 37 minutes from downtown Bogor. Leuweung Gledekan Ecolodge presents accommodation with an environmentally friendly concept with a beautiful forest background and is located at the foot of Mount Salak, which is the area of Mount Halimun National Park in West Java. This makes Luwung Gledekan Eco Lodge participates in preserving the forest, which almost all areas have been created for nature education. Here, you will get to know more about Sundanese local culture, starting from food, games, and traditional arts. In the afternoon, you can enjoy a variety of traditional Sundanese food and drink offerings, such as cuanki, kue balok, pandros, kue putu, bajigur, sekoteng, and others. The merchants will go around through lodge after lodge, so it feels like home. Luwung Gledekan Eco Lodge has an area of around 3.1 hectares with a total of 82 effective cottages and an outbound area of 1 hectare, which can make Luwung Gledekan Eco Lodge as one of the lodges with the largest outbound area in Bogor City. In accordance with the tagline, a sanctuary for natural and cultural experience, Luwung Gledekan Eco Lodge tries to provide services and packages, all complete facilities that contain interesting activities, such as 5 meeting rooms with unique concept, outdoor wedding venues with open nature, nature concepts, thematic shooting areas, thematic coffee shop, thematic river, and fun area for children activities. Because it has a variety of unique flagship facilities, making Luwung Gledekan Eco Lodge a favorite place to visit. Of course, a comfortable and safe vacation will be complete while still implementing health protocols.
Berawal dari tatap indah senyummu memikat, memikat hatiku yang hampa lara. Senyum membawa tawa, tawa membawa cerita, cerita kasih indah tentang kita. Terkadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Kau membuatku tertawa di saat hati ini terbawa, terbawa oleh cintamu untukku, untuk kita. Kadang ku ragu, kadang tak percaya, tapi ku yakin kau milikku. Kau membuatku bahagia di saat hati ini terluka. Kau membuatku
mencegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
وقو انتقال فيروس كوفيد-19 من خلال ارتداء الأقنعة بشكل صحيح. قناعي يحميكم وقناعكم يحميني.
رانغ جان شوي بي تاي كو جاو يفانشي سين سين كوان جوان بيندو في يان دا چوان بو. ودا كو جاو باو هو ني ودا كو جاو باو هو و.
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des Covid-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Welcome back, listener, to Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is still about sakit, which means sick, so stay tuned. Here is the conversation entitled Kira-kira pukul 14.30, which means at about 14.30. This dialogue is between Kevin and the clinic staff. They talk on the phone. The clinic staff gives estimated time to Kevin to come to the clinic. Let's listen to the conversation.
Pukul berapa saya harus tiba di klinik?
Kira-kira pukul 14.30.
Having listened to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Pukul berapa saya harus tiba di klinik? Pukul berapa saya harus tiba di klinik? Which means, what time should I arrive at the clinic? Kira-kira, kira-kira, which means about. Pukul 14.30, pukul 14.30, which means 14.30. Kira-kira pukul 14.30. Kira-kira pukul 14.30, which means at about 14.30. In the dialogue, you listen to an expression, kira-kira pukul 14.30. Kira-kira pukul 14.30, which means at about 14.30. In the expression, there is the word kira-kira, kira-kira, which means about. It is used to show estimated time. Besides the word kira-kira, kira-kira, which means about, the word sekitar, sekitar, which means around, can be used to show estimated time.
Here are the other examples to show estimated time. Pukul berapa saya harus tiba di klinik? Pukul berapa saya harus tiba di klinik? Which means, what time should I arrive at the clinic? Kira-kira pukul 14.30. Kira-kira pukul 14.30. Which means, at about 14.30. Pukul berapa saya harus tiba di klinik? Pukul berapa saya harus tiba di klinik? Which means, what time should I arrive at the clinic? Sekitar pukul 14.30. Sekitar pukul 14.30. Which means at around 14.30. In the dialogue, you hear the clinic staff tells the time 14.30. 14.30, which means 14.30. Indonesia uses 24-hour clock, which is 00 until 59 minutes past 23. However, time telling may vary. 14.30 can be said pukul 14.30 menit. Pukul 14.30 menit, which means 30 minutes past 14. Pukul 2.30 siang. Pukul 2.30 siang, which means 2.30. And pukul 2:30 siang. Pukul 2:30 siang, which means 2:30. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Pukul berapa saya harus tiba di klinik?
Kira-kira pukul 14.30. Listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma, sampai jumpa!
Terima kasih.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. Listener, I would like to present a song from Bali entitled Meong Meong. The song Meong Meong is one of kids' songs from Bali. The lyrics of Meow Meow describe a cat which is asked to hunt mice. The cat is asked to hunt big and fat mice because the mice often make a problem. The song Meong Meong is also sung in a Balinese kids' game, namely Meong Meongan. It's a game in which one child plays the role of a cat. The cat also has a duty to catch another child who acts as a mouse. The song is continuously sung until the mouse is caught. Well, listener, here is the song Meong Meong by Emoni. Enjoy!
Our Togetherness in English Language Program Broadcasting Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.